Casper Ruud's return to form, Dimitrov's chances on the clay, and we pick our favourites to win Roland Garros. That and more on this week's episode of Beer Garden Tennis. Now, let's crack on. So, is there anyone in the draw in these clay tournaments, particularly these 1,000s that are leading into the French Open, that you've got your eye on that people maybe aren't looking at as a threat or you think is on the up, particularly on clay, or just anyone you've got a lot of interest in? I know you've talked about Musetti a little bit, who the variance between how threatening he is on other surfaces and clay is probably pretty dramatic. He's quite a threat. We talked about last week how he's probably 20 or 30% more likely to win on clay. So is there anyone else that you're thinking people should keep an eye on?
I think it doesn't
necessarily have to be an unknown player, someone.
I really think, and he's one that, you know, currently sitting at six in the world, but, you know, he's one that the conversation's really gone away from is Casper Ruud. Yeah. I think he's really starting to hit his straps and come into the season, you know, had a heck of a season there, you know, where he made a couple of Grand Slam finals and, you know, couldn't get over the line, you know, losing to the very, very best. But just, you know, sort of lost his way a little bit, but now he seems that he's on the clay. That's his most comfortable surface. I think he's a real threat come the French Open, you know, to lift that trophy. He's having success again this week in Barcelona. And, you know, as we said, lost in the final to Tsitsipas there. Mm. But I think he's back in the mix. I really do, is Casper. And he's disciplined. Works extremely hard, disciplined, you know, got a good team around him, keeps distractions to a minimum. So I think he's one that, you know, he's not going to get the fanfare that, as we know, the other guys, Alcaraz and Sinner and these guys, but he's right there knocking on the door. And I think he's primed to possibly take out the French Open.
I agree. And one thing with Casper that's unfortunate is he's played some absolute blinders in quarters and semis and then gets very badly touched up in finals, and then people kind of are like, well, that guy was forgettable. Why was he even in there? The best matches happened in the semis. Or if Novak got through, he had to play a tougher opponent before Casper. But it's just getting used to being there. And one thing, unfortunately, for Casper is he doesn't have a lot of weapons if someone's really on one. He doesn't have a giant serve to get some easy points. He doesn't have some of the tools that other people have. So I understand why the world hasn't cottoned onto him. And you think about some of the popularity of like Holger Rune, most people would have some familiarity with him because he's pushed the big guys and or won finals, even if they're only at Masters level. Like people look at him differently as a talent than they do Casper, when really I think Casper has had and is having the better, at least last 18 months, yeah, particularly from the middle of last year onwards. And it might be just because he's not boisterous either on the court. Mm-hmm. He never makes the news. He never does anything off the court. Mm-hmm. He's never in controversy.
Yep.
He's never slandered someone's girlfriend.
Yep.
Whatever goes on a tennis court that tends to get people more public profile than maybe their game deserves. And other than Andy Murray, I can't think of anyone that's got a lob that I've enjoyed seeing that much. I think Casper uses it too much, but it's a shot that doesn't get any fanfare. The shot he can hit better than any other player is not one people are super excited about, which is the lob. Who gets excited about a lob?
Yeah.
I mean, Andy Murray's were incredible because they'd land 1 millimeter from the baseline, but it's unfortunate for him because he is unbelievable.
Yeah. And Casper's game went to a whole new level there a couple of seasons ago when he actually did increase, he got a little bit more pop on the first serve, and he was hitting the forehand bigger than ever.
Yeah, his forehand's massive when he unloads it.
But as we've spoken about before, you can increase your you know, your clicks on the first serve. You can hit the forehand bigger, but then the tour adjusts. So when you come out to play Casper, you now know that. That's a part of his repertoire where, you know, that entire season, he was hitting it bigger than ever, and guys were going like, geez, he can't keep that up, surely. You know, he's increased his level, his power level from the back of the court, you know, upgrading around the backhand, hitting forehands as often as ever and as big as ever. But then the tour adjusts because they're like, okay, well, we're aware of that next time that we play. Casper. But then also the rest of the tour get better as well. The top guys go, okay, well, now I need to look at doing that.
Yeah.
I need to look at hitting the forehand bigger. I need to tweak the serve and see if I can get some more, some more Ks or miles per hour in that serve. So when that occurs, the player's got to make an adjustment again. So then Casper's got to go, okay, well, how can I get better? So that's when the mentally, when you're out there, that's the to and fro that we talk about, where, you feel like you're right there, and which he is. He's like, I'm right there winning, getting into major finals and winning all those big clay court events. I'm so close, yet you take a bounce back. Once you come off that level, you bounce back and he struggled there for a period there last year. That 6 months last year, he was all over the map in terms of results. So yeah. that's the challenge of staying in that top 10, around that, in between that 5 and 10, you're staying around there. It's year in, year out. And then also there's injuries that come into the equation as well, major injuries and little niggles. So, he's figuring that out now, but he seems like he's in a good place coming into the French Open. He gets back onto his comfortable clay where, he's one of the top five clay quarters in the world. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
No, he's almost impossible to hit through.
Yeah. I don't think there's any question that he's one of the better players on that surface. And, he knows that, and we're seeing that now, with his results. The question will be, come the French Open, the five set format too also suits Casper. Mm. Looks after his body extremely well, loves the longer format, where you find with the shorter format, he can probably get, in the big matches, he can probably get hit off the court as we saw with Tsitsipas.
A little overpowered. Yeah.
Where, five set format, he can get his teeth into the match a little bit more, and it becomes more of a marathon than a sprint. But, he's right there, and full credit to him. I find it really difficult to not think that he's not going to make the second week at the French Open.
So someone that's been having one of the great seasons, and I'll say, as someone that follows the tour intensely, someone who I never thought would get back to this level as a threat, is Dimitrov. How do you feel about Dimitrov's clay game and maybe what his chances are to have a run?
Look, been excited to see Dimitrov, back. Look, to...
Firstly, did you think he could get back to this level of being a threat?
No, I kind of didn't. I thought it might have been, sort of all over.
Yeah.
To be a top 10 player.
Yeah.
I thought that he would have been not satisfied or happy, but, he would have been, comfortable to be in that, a top 50 player, ranked 40 to 50 or something like that, But you never know with niggles or, injuries and that kind of stuff. And obviously as we get older, you're more susceptible to those kinds of things happening, those injuries. So, he was a player where it's thought, oh, well, we've probably seen the best of, Dimitrov. So to see him back, the crazy stat was from this year when he won Brisbane, the 250 there in the lead up to the Australian Open was his first ATP title in about 5 years, which it's a crazy stat when you think of someone that of that talent level and that athletic ability. So nuts, when I heard that, I was like, that's unbelievable. Like what's this guy been doing? that's the level that, I think that there is at, a former ATP Tour finals winner. He's been, top three in the world. He may have got to two in the world, I think. I think he was seeded two at the Australian Open there, 1 year after he won the ATP Tour finals. He's just been in an era, Josh, where, with Novak Djokovic, Nadal and Federer.
Yeah.
The amount of times he's run into those guys at slams, in a fourth round or, a third round where he doesn't even see the second week. Just unfortunate. So tough. You're playing against, the best of the best that we've seen at the biggest events, and he just hasn't been able to sort of get through there. Played a cracking semi-final against, it was Nadal, I think he went down to, wasn't it, at the Australian Open? Semi-final there, 8-6 in the fifth. He made a semi at Wimbledon. He's been right there. So to see him back, performing, the way he has, one of the nicest guys out there.
Mm.
But, in terms of his clay court game, I don't see... I think hard court's definitely, more suited to that style of play.
Yep.
Where he can strike first, and I think the clay courts is probably a little bit more vulnerable. I still see him, in the lead up events, you know, whether at 500 level or Masters 1000 level before the French Open. I'm not surprised to see him in quarterfinals,
yeah,
for example. But for him to, you know, to advance further than that, I think it's a good week for Grigor on the yeah, clay. But, you know, French Open, he's obviously going to be have a seed there.
Yeah.
And the second week for a guy like that's a possibility. You know, I say second week, that's, we're talking round of 16, fourth round. But then, as we know, it goes to a whole new level.
Yeah.
Come fourth round and beyond, it goes up a gear, and that's when you know the clay court maestros or the elite of the elite come to the party.
I just want to get, if we just think forward to this is all working up to the French, who is your pick at the moment? And this can change as we get another, we'll have several more episodes before the French Open, so this can change
with
injury or form, but who are you thinking at the moment?
Just my pick still, you know, for the French Open's Novak Djokovic. You know, as I said before, this guy's the, you know, the ultimate stayer, and, you know, he's in the mode now where he's the master of really timing his run at these events. You know, not, even if he's not playing his best tennis sort of coming in, you know, he'll work through those first couple of early rounds and be primed for the second week. He's still as competitive as anybody out there, you know, so he's still my pick over the five-set format. Obviously, Alcaraz, big question mark over what's going on with his body. You know, physically, it's still a bit of a mystery on what's going on there, you know, and he's probably the only guy that I would think, you know, head-to-head on a clay court that I'd probably give the advantage to over a Novak Djokovic. I would still pick probably Novak right now over Sinner, you know, if it was a semi-final or, you know, even a final. You know, until you knock Novak out, until he gets knocked out, I think he's still the guy.
Yep. Obviously, we've talked about, I had a cluster of players that I loved, and Novak's the only one that's still going out of that cluster. Nishikori and Stan Wawrinka, and obviously Nadal's, we don't know if he's even going to play at this point. So that would just be speculation.
Well, hence, I did not even put his name in there because it's just great to see him back.
I mean, I hope every finger and toe is crossed for him to be in there.
Yep.
I think it would just mean a lot for the sport, even if he's maybe not at his best. I intellectually think that Novak should still be my choice, but I'm going to go with Alcaraz. We're talking about an older version of Novak that isn't. He's compensated by getting even better offensively, particularly his serve is as accurate as anyone, but he's not the defensive super trooper that he was in that 2014-16 run. And Alcaraz is probably the closest to that, where he's just going to track balls down. You don't think it's possible to track down. And if he's healthy, I'm picking Alcaraz.
Yep. And I think the key here moving forward, and as you said, you know, we'll be back before the French Open starts, but I think the key here for Djokovic is for anybody who's paying close attention to the French Open, and you don't get a chance to watch many matches like myself and Josh do, just look at the scores. And if he's able to track through those first 2 to 3 rounds with little stress on the body physically and mentally, you know, cruising through there, you know, a 6-2, 6-3, 6-2, something like that. That's the key. That's the key for Djokovic now, because he's at that age level where over 2 weeks, you want to take care of the early matches as best you can. So come second week, when, as we know, things go up a gear, you're ready to go, and you can put all your resources and all your energy into the final straight. And I think that's the key for Djokovic. If he's to have success at the French Open and any slam for that matter moving forward, got to take care of business early on, because if a lot of court time early on, I think obviously he becomes more vulnerable come later on in the event.
Agreed. And I guess the last thing I'll say about that today is that he has one thing that no other player has. In his mind, he knows that he's played well enough at Roland Garros to just head-to-head, no one was hurt, maybe one of the great games of all time. He's beaten Nadal at Roland Garros, and there wasn't anything weird happening. No one was injured or unwell or, you know, throwing up before the match. It was just head-to-head, I've beaten the best clay court player of all time. Straight up in 4 sets. I'm the only person that's done that. He's the only person that's ever beaten Nadal twice consecutively on clay ever across any tournament.
Mm-hmm.
So he can hold on to that in the back of his mind, that as good as Alcaraz or Sinner might be on clay, I've beaten someone that, for all intents and purposes, is better than they can be on this surface, because he was the clay goat.
Absolutely.
Even if his body's not there, he has a mental edge that no one else can really get to. Whether he accesses that, that'll depend on his mood probably on the day or his coaches, but I think it's something that he can cling to even if he's not playing his best.
Yep.
Is that I know I can get to a level that these guys haven't reached on this surface before.
Yep, yep. And that's the advantage as you mentioned there, that's the advantage I feel he still has. As I said, is he going to be fresh enough to be able to tap into that, I guess, when it really matters?
Correct. The body has to be there. Mm. Well, thank you, everyone, once again for listening. To the people that have given me some feedback, even in the first, week of the show being out, I've had some positive feedback. And I said to Kulfman, I got a message from a mate that said, holy you really are a tennis nerd. Like, yeah. That's why I look like a zombie half the time. A lot of these matches are on at pretty weird times of the day.
No, we appreciate it. We appreciate all the feedback. And, as I said, we just look forward to continuing to bring some quality, tennis chat to the people out there. We'll get on to some more crazy stuff, down the track as well. I just wanted to get started with some stuff on tour. And, look, there's plenty to talk about. So we're happy to plug in.
Absolutely. And we will dig in as we get closer to the French on some of these players that you might be a little bit less familiar with that have maybe an outsized chance of doing well on the clay. We'll probably talk about Massetti and players of that nature. So just so if you do watch it, you've got a bit more idea of, that's the guy they talked about and that guy's got a shot on the clay. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yep, looking forward to it, Josh. We'll see you next week, bud.
Catch you later.